Well, this big crowd is warning us. Good morning. Must be vacation time. This is the day which the Lord hath made, so let's rejoice and be glad in it. And let me give the announcements. Tonight, is the last Sunday of the month, and we have request time. You select the hymns, and Brother Rook called, and he plans to continue in the book of Job. That's tonight at 7 o'clock. And then the big item for the announcements is Wednesday night at 6 o'clock at Rick and Deb's home. We're having our annual New Year's Eve get-together, a pizza party, and with your refreshments that you bring, and they'll be singing and they'll be preaching, or a Bible study at least, and fellowship. And I would also suggest if he wanted to play some games, we'll bring some games along so that we can perhaps play some afterwards. And then Thursday's New Year's Day, and I trust you'll have a good family time with that day of observance. So, Brother Rick, Deb, you have a list back there. They'd like to have some idea who's coming and how many and so forth. There's a list back there on the table. Perhaps you'll take time to write down some of the things. I don't know how many is coming from my gang. They said they're coming for New Year's, and there may be a number of them that will be coming Wednesday night, I trust. So I expect some folk to be here or to be there at Rick and Deb's on Wednesday evening, as normally our Wednesday is our midweek Bible study and prayer meeting. Now this morning we'll continue on this matter of households in biblical days and for our days also, and it comes to the subject of servant or serving the Lord. So I've selected some hymns that I believe has some relevance to the matter of Christian service. The first one is 684 and a 691 following, which have to do with the word hark in the beginning of each of their titles. And hark has the idea of, now listen closely, pay attention, the word hark has the idea. So let's sing 684 first. Turn a few more pages toward the back of the hymnal, 691. Hark! The voice of Jesus crying, 691. In a capsule, that hymn is what I want to emphasize this morning. The matter of serving the Lord. I like that which says, if you cannot cross the ocean and the heathen land to, and the heathen lands to explore, you can find heathen nearer. You can find them at your door. So there's, don't get the idea that if you give to missions, that it makes it something more special than taking a look out the door, pull the curtains back. Now, you take the task that God has given you, it says gladly, and let his work your pleasure be. Let's stand. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. First, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, it did heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Thus saith the word of God. Please be seated. Let us sing another hymn. I want us to sing 494 to the tune of Rock of Ages. There are four stanzas, and I want us to sing with understanding, because I didn't think we knew 494 well enough to sing it, but we do know the tune Rock of Ages, and so let's sing 494 to the tune of Rock of Ages. Turn to Colossians chapter 3 and through chapter 4 and verse 1. We are continuing the study of Colossians to that little church in Colossae, and we've been talking about the matter of they had different groups, different cultures. They had the Roman influence, they had the Greek influence, and they had the Jewish influence of these people who come to know Christ, and they were a little confused about what it meant to be. Well, the wives didn't know quite how they were to act because of the different cultures, and the husbands, they were come from different backgrounds, and they didn't know what to do. By the way, I think this generation doesn't know quite what's supposed to do as far as being wives and husbands and children and fathers. This isn't something old, dusty stuff. This is something that you and I need to get a grasp on, because these verses are in the imperative. They're also in the active mood that is to be continually to be done, and God says so. So it's not an option. I don't have to pay attention this morning. Yes, you do. God said this is what you have to do. So we come down now to this matter of servants. And that's kind of a tough one, because it actually could be a translated slaves. So the first thing you're going to say, well, does the Bible teach that slavery is all right? That's one of the first things you're going to, it must be all right because there it is. Yeah, well, you see, there's a lot of confusion along that line too. But I think today in translating this would be more like employees and employers and their duties. So that's the way I've looked at it. However, I certainly am not going to minimize the fact that the matter of slavery, does the Word of God countenance the slavery? Let's pray. Our Father, for the privilege that is ours, and apparently it is not for a lot of folk, but that we can come together, sing praises, sing some admonitions to one another, to encourage one another, to strengthen us, spirit, soul, and body, and that we might please you. And we ask that your presence be with us, and you be pleased with our worship, and you'd speak to our hearts and help us to put away all those things that would distract us. All the things of the new year, all the things of what we haven't done, all these things that need to be done. Help us to center upon the Word of God this morning. It is your very breath, and it is very clear and precise of how we are to respond to these avenues that you put us in providentially. And may we see our blessed Lord in all this. He's the Lord Christ. So be with us. Be with our loved ones. And even as we anticipate seeing more of our family in the next few days, we pray that we might be a witness and that we might please you in what we say and do. Once again, thank you, Lord, for your goodness. In the name of the Lord Jesus, who loved us and made it all possible that we can enjoy these things and be a blessing to you and to others. In Christ's name, amen. Now, one third of the people in this day that this was written, they were Roman Empire slaves. Now, you say, so what? So what? That meant they had to do complete submission, be completely submissive to their masters, and they had no rights. It does seem a little strange, that in the slavery there were all kinds of folk. Well, in the employees there's all kinds of people too. There, those who are smart and those who are educated, and they still have to do some of them by the work with their hands. And they had the same way with slaves. I often think back in early America where the slaves, some of them were preachers to the masters. So don't get the idea of inferiority in this. That the Bible is saying that we white folk are more superior than the black people. We're going to soon find out about that, aren't we, with our newly elected president. So here we are, and we have a word here about the matter of servants and masters, employees and employers, for it exactly can be translated that way, and some of us know a little bit about that. You know, before I get into it, I'm embarrassed. I don't know if you are or not, about the United States history when it came to slavery. Are you a little embarrassed? You say, well, it's those folk down south. No, that's not. Those people down south, they're the ones. Now, wait a minute. You don't know your history completely, because the trade business started in the north. Yeah, it did. So you say, well, it really got big down the south. Yes, it did. But you know, if you are, if you buy or you receive from a thief, say somebody steals something and gives you a big deal and says you can have for a couple bucks and it's worth $200 or $300 and you take it, in court there'll be some counting for you're receiving stolen goods. And so here we are, embarrassed a little bit this morning about we northern people, we weren't slave owners as such, and but the folk down south, they did a lot of it. I think we probably ought to turn to 1 Timothy just to show you how serious a problem it really is. It's 1 Timothy 1. I didn't even write it down. So, but it has, I think, it's verse 10. You see, this is a very this is a criminal offense. What is? Verse 10 of 1 Timothy chapter 1. For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves of mankind, for men stealers, that's the word, for liars, for perjured persons. And if there be any other things that is contrary to sound doctrine, the word men stealers. I don't understand what you mean, men stealers. Don't you? How about millions of them that were taken from Africa and brought over here? Did he steal them? Yes. What about it? God's against men stealers. And he gives a whole list here. And in verse 9 of things that God's against. And while we're talking about men stealers, it would be very good if you could find Deuteronomy 24 in verse 7, the fifth book of the Bible, because it might just open up a little thing in your thinking about slavery and where we've been in history and so forth. Deuteronomy 24 and verse 7. What does God think about the whole mess? Well, he countenances it in his word. No, he doesn't. Wherever there's been a work of God's grace and hearts, they were made free. But verse 7 of Deuteronomy, it says, if a man be found stealing in of his brethren, of the children of Israel, and make a merchandise of him, he or sell of him, then that thief shall die. Woo-ee. And thou should put evil away from among you. Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. If there's some men stealing, especially from your own people, and you make merchandise of them as you're selling, then the one who has done that shall die. God says so. You say, well, that's the Old Testament. Listen, the principles of the Old Testament that have not been done away with are for today. You say, well, the Old Covenant's passed. Now, wait a minute. Ten Commandments over? There are certain specific things are to be put away. But this is still standing that it's wrong to do verse 7. So you can excuse yourself and you can make talk about it and go all around the barn, so to speak. But it says, you, if you've been part of that, and we, some of our kinfolk in the north here, we made merchandise of men, it said he should die. Did we? Well, I'll tell you, the South took a beating. Did they? There was no judgment for us up north, was there? Well, yes, there was. God judged the South for slavery, and we who were in the North were judged also for participating, making it possible for slavery, and we were judged, and it's embarrassing. I had a Southern cry in my presence. Now, it may not affect you. Say, well, that's history. That's a sad thing. And I got to tell you something. There's some great so-called Bible preachers down south. They actually taught that the Negroes were inferior. Want to know one? His name was Dabney. He was a great, great theologian. So if you get the idea about some things, you got to say, what does God think about it? That makes a difference. Judgment fell harshly upon the South and upon the North. Well, I want us to do a little something different this morning. I want you to turn to page 670 at the back of the hymnal. Why? Well, maybe you didn't know, but there's a catechism back there. What's a catechism? A catechism is teaching by question and answering. On a page 670, it comes up with this matter of honoring the fifth command, honoring your father and your mother. And so they taught in the old days by question and answers. The children were supposed to learn the answers to questions such as we have here in the 63rd question, up left-hand side, page 670. What was the question they were supposed to answer? And the question was asked to the children, what is the fifth commandment? And you say, well, the fifth commandment is honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Fine. What's the next question? Next question relevant to the fifth commandment. This is what is required in the fifth commandment? Answer. The fifth commandment requireth the preserving the honor and the performing the duties belonging to everyone in their several places and relations as superiors, inferiors, or equals. I thought you just said something about that there was the thinking that the white were superior over the blacks. No, it is not talking that way. It's talking in the realm of obedience. And it goes further than mom and pop. We sometimes are so literal, say, the fifth commandment has to do with mom and pop. It goes further than that. For it says here in answer, it has to do with people who are over us. That would be called perhaps a supervisor, employer, and inferior. That would be you if you're a child or if you're an employee or if, say, we're equals, we're partners. We're going to look at that a little bit. And that's what I hope to do this morning. Basically, look at the matter of Christian employees and Christian employers. You know, the next question is, question 65, what is forbidden in the fifth commandment? Well, answer, the fifth commandment forbiddeth the neglecting of or doing anything against the honor and duty which belongeth to everyone in their several places and relations. That has to do with employees and employers. That has to do with mom and pop and us kids. And then the last question for the fifth commandment is question 66. And the question they put to the young folk in the old days, and they catechize them, they say, well, what is forbidden in the fifth commandment? No. What is the reason annexed to the fifth commandment? And they were taught to answer. The reason annexed to the fifth commandment is it's a promise of long life and prosperity as far as it shall serve for God's glory and their own good to all such as keep this commandment. They're good questions and they're good answers. A little bit strange for us who are superior in our intelligence. No, we're not superior in our intelligence. There ought to be more catechizing, I believe. We've gone so far away from the truth that it's really sad conditions in these days. Now, I am looking at this last part of chapter 3 of Colossians, but I'm not looking at it in an exegetical way. I'm looking at it in a broad way, and for I think that sometimes you need to do that before you get down to the nitty-gritty parts. But I would remind you that this is God's Word, and it's by the very Spirit of God and His very breath that He says these things. I sometimes think that we look at the Bible and say, well, yeah, it says that, but I don't know. Yeah, that's, I think maybe, yeah, you do. Well, you better get on board and see what the Word of God says about some of these things, instead of just assuming that you have the right answer. So, servants, that could be translated slaves, or it could be a translated employees, obey in all things your masters. That could be employers, your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. I want to cover this a little bit, this business of eye service and men pleasers. But it had to be singleness of heart. Singleness of the heart, fearing God. Now that word fearing, some people say, ooh, you got to fear God. No, it's to show God reverence and awe and respect. So if I'm going to be a good employee and I'm a Christian, I need to look at these verses. And I need to look at them with reverence for God that I'm going to obey. Verse 23. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Oh. I go down the road and I see they're working on the highway and the signs are off and turn your lights on. I go past and there's four guys looking around, one guy down there picking away. They can't all be bosses, can they? And undoubtedly, some of them say they know the Lord. We're to work heartily. Work heartily as to the Lord, not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. I like that. You know why I like that? Say you don't get paid very much. And you do your job heartily as unto the Lord for the glory of God. God says, you know, I'm going to, when your days are over, your working days are over, he said, you know, there's going to be an inheritance, a reward of the inheritance for you serve the Lord Jesus. I like the word Lord Christ. Do you like that? It's not used very often in the Bible. The Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respecter of persons. Chapter 4, verse 1. By the way, who put in the chapter divisions? Not God. But they've done a good job. But I believe chapter 4, verse 1 belongs in chapter 3 because it talks contextually about servants and masters. Masters, it says in verse 1, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master, capital letter M, in heaven. Let's talk about employees. For some of us have been employees. Some of us have been employers. And so we can switch off to one another here, can't we? Say, that's the way it was with me as an employee. Well, that's the way it was when I hired guys by the hour. Okay? So we ought to sit up and listen to what the Word of God has to say about some of the sins and some of the things that we ought to do as employees. I find that we're supposed to obey. That is verse 22. Employee, you're supposed to obey in all things. All things? As long as it is not contrary to the word of God. Yes, sir. In all things, your master according to the flesh. Not with eye service. Oh, here comes the boss. Hey, get to work, you guys. Or as a men pleasers. There's a lot of men pleasing going on. But is singleness of heart, fearing God. There should be a respectfulness to our masters, our employers, as employees. Now, I worked not too many years ago where we went to the lounge, the lunchroom, both in school and both in transportation service. And I know how people talk in the faculty lounge and in lunchrooms at work. That's usually when they get on the boss. Yep, and you sit there and say, you know, he's not right. You know what he asked me to do? You know, it's easy to get into that and participate in it. But if you look at verse 8 of chapter 3 of Colossians, it clips your wings if you have the idea that, well, I can express myself what I want to about the boss and the working conditions. But it says, no, don't be participating in it, because verse 8 says, but now ye also put off all these, what? You're angry at the boss. Really angry, wrath. There's some malice. He said, boy, if I ever get a chance, I'll fix him. And blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. It said, put off that. Don't be participating in saying, hey, I don't believe he's doing it right. I like to deviate. It says in the Bible that you're to obey the elders. By the way, you will be judged if you don't. You say, well, they aren't doing what's right. If they're asking the Lord the direction, you better listen to what they have to say. Because, and don't be saying, well, the old preacher, he didn't do what he would, and the elders are what he would. Now, wait a minute. You be careful. The Bible is an imperative, and verse 8 is a command of God. Don't you be participating in such things. Because the Lord God is looking, the Lord Christ is looking upon and hearing the things that are being said and what's being promoted. If you have an accusation towards the elder, you better have two or three witnesses. Have roast preacher, whatever you want to call it. Be very careful, friends. We're in the imperative in this section of the Word of God. So back to employees. So we're supposed to obey them. We're supposed to respect those over us in authority. And it might be that we'll have an opportunity to witness to the boss. If he sees that we do, as the Bible says in Colossians, and do it heartily in singleness and respectfully, you say, hey, wait a minute. Why should I do all the work and the other guys goof off? You know what they'll say to me if I'm working hard and they're coasting? See, he's a nut for doing that. But this Bible is saying, you better listen to what God has to say. You do it heartily. It might be that God will use you as a witness to the boss. He says, that guy works. I know as soon as they hear the door open, they all scramble for it, get busy, look busy. I'm really busy. He said, I know that man works when I'm not looking. And God looks upon us as employees. And that goes to the context. Wives, look at it. We're not trying to get something out of context. It's talking about wives and you husbands, us husbands, and you children, and us fathers, and now servants. If you have something wrong that you think the boss is doing, it's better to go, hey, boss, may I talk to you a few minutes? It'd be better you do it that way. Not squeal on the guys, but saying, you know, there's something I don't think is quite right. I believe you ought to give honor where honor's due. When Darrell Wheeling was living, I'd say something to the Pope that seemed like to bother him. He'd call me up on the phone and say, hey, preacher, you going to be home? I'm going to come down and talk to you. Then we talk it over. That's a manly way to do it. Not just share it with others. Preachers can do wrong too, you know. Or didn't you know that? But we're to be slaves of righteousness. Now you say, I don't understand that. I don't know what you mean. Slaves of righteousness. Yes, that's what it means. If we've been made free and God, the Son, has saved us, if the Lord shall make you free, the Son shall make you free, you'll be free indeed. I've been forgiven of my sins, and I've been given a new birth, I've been given a new nature, and if I said to the person, I will work for $10 an hour, and he says, this is your job duty, and as much as possible, do your job, and do it right. If it isn't enough, you go back and talk to him about it. I can't help but bring you present-day news. The United Auto Workers, with the factories making, the fellows making cars, yeah. Oh, what do they make an hour? $73. What did you say? Do you have that right? What? How much do the factory workers, the United Auto workers get? $73 an hour. That's something. Ought to have the best cars in the world. And if you don't mind, Alan, may I use your little saying? All basically someone have to do is right to tightening and left to loosening. Loosey. Right to tightening. How do you say it? For $73 an hour, they can't even work at McDonald's. They don't know how to do more than just that one thing. Is that a fact? That's a fact. You say, well, that's not right. Okay. Maybe it's not right. I want to remind you that some of the servants were well-educated and they were slaves. And some of them were doctors. Oh, you're kidding me. In the Roman Empire, there were doctors who were slaves. And they were in a complete submission to another master, and they had no rights. What do you mean? They were gifted in, well, herbs, for instance. They knew that this herb, and this, they just seemed to have a gift to do that. You don't believe that? Yes, I do. They taught children where to work for Jesus, the Lord Jesus. Work for him. You say, now this is too simple. No, he isn't. The Lord Christ looks upon us and he sees the preacher in the pulpit this morning. He sees you sitting in the pew. He's looking. He knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. He knows if you're goofing off. He knows if you're accepting this or rejecting this. And you're using all kinds of things to excuse yourself. And you're going to give an account for what you heard. And I have to give an account for what I say. The Lord God is looking upon us. And he says, I want you to do it. Look at that verse. I want you to do it heartily. Isn't that beautiful? Singleness of heart. And verse 22 and in verse 23, do it heartily. That is a great verse. The best that you can. Now, my ex-brother-in-law used to say, well, you can't get blood out of a red meat. And some people can't chew and walk at the same time. That may be true. But the best I have is what you get. If you're going to do it for the Lord. It says here that whatever you do, verse 23, keep looking to the verse. You do it as, whatever you do, verse 23, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. You say, I wonder what they're going to think about the sermon this morning. I don't care. You're reading the Word of God. I tried to give you what I think is right, and so it's up to you to fight it if you feel it's not in according to what you believe. This is what I feel that God has to give. And when I go to work tomorrow, I do what I have to do, and I do it as on the Lord. And he said, well, I don't like the way you do that. Why don't you go this way instead of going that way? I'll listen to you, but the boss says I'm to do it. I'll do it this way. I like verse 24. Hey, it's not fair. It's just not fair that people get $73 an hour and some of them don't even make that a week. It's just not fair. Verse 24. You better believe something's not fair, but knowing this. Want to know something? Verse 24 says, knowing that the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. It's for you serve the Lord Christ. Yahoo! You mean I might get paid twice? That'd be nice. That's what it's saying. He's the reward. He's the rewarder of inheritance. Say, man, I'd like to be paid twice. Well, look at verse 24 and see what you can come up with. It's the Lord you should of the Lord. Of the Lord you should receive the reward of inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. That's a good verse to look at to be actually. Exegete that verse more fully. So if we go along with the culture of the day in verse 25, well, that's not the way I understand. That's not the way I was taught in school. Yeah, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, for there's no respect of persons. Doesn't God know who I am? I said, I know who you are. And I know what you do. And I know what you think. And I know you behind closed doors. I know you. And he said, I'm no respecter of persons. What's for a man so he shall reap. Wow. Okay, enough of that. Let's go to verse 1 of chapter 4 because we need to talk about employers. They're the guys. Man, some of them are ruthless. Run around in a car and don't do any work. Expect all kinds of work from us. You don't do it themselves. Now, wait a minute. Be careful. Let's talk to the Lord and see what the Lord said. The Lord says, now, you masters, that would be employers, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master. What? Ye also have a master in heaven. Ooh, I'm going to have to give an account the way it sounds. Yes, there's the judgment day coming for both employees and employers. And I like the tense of this verse. Because some people said I don't have to pay attention to that. Yes, you do. The tense of this is imperative, and it's in the active present sense that is continuously. Say, well, I did that when I was the boss. You still have place of influence. And you hire people and so forth, don't you? Yet the things done around the place. It says, well, now, just be careful when you start doing that, that you're just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. You know, there are sins of employers. They aren't all right. That's what it says in verse 4. That's what it's saying. And they have imperfections. And they can get harsh. Well, sometimes we need a little kick. What? We need a little kick in the pants sometimes. Oh, I don't. You don't? Let me talk to your wife and talk to your husband. And we have sins as employers, or those in authority. Commandment 5 is to obey those who are in authority. You say, that's just for children. No, no, no. That commandment is for all circumstances, and it also involves people who are in authority over us. School teachers, policemen, boss, whatever. And you can get harsh. Hire and fire. Do it my way, go the highway. Where are some bosses like that? They think they're little dictators. But the Bible doesn't teach. See, what's the point here? See, what are you talking about? This was a point. This was a problem in that day. It's a problem in our day. It's not been done away with. How do I apply the Word of God? So listen to me. God is saying, pay attention. Well, that sounds a little strict too. Yeah, well, there is that. And I'm not against unions altogether, because if you read history, boy, the sweatshops were awful. Come on, children working. Don't get all fired up one way or the other. There is a place. And the places weren't safe. People were killed in their workplaces. Wasn't safe. You say, well, I don't understand what you're trying to get at. Bosses, employers, they have to look out for some of these things. I mean, even such things as noxious fumes and in unsafe conditions. Employers are to, Christian-wise, in speaking, these are Christians. These are folk, and they meet together in church. And this guy, he's a boss man downtown away. He owns a store or some factory. Here's a guy, slave, literally a slave. Has to be submissive to an owner, and he has no rights. And here's some children, and they were brought up in a different culture, and now they're hearing the Word of God and say, I don't understand. and had all this kind of confusion. He said, this is what God has to say to us. And he's still saying to us because it's in the continuous sense. But he's supposed to be, it says here in verse 1, he's supposed to be just. And he's supposed to be equal. Who is? The boss or the employer. And that is supposed to be a godly fellow. If you're a Christian, you're supposed to be godly. Not just in a church Sunday with your Sunday best on, singing a hymn or two, but you're to be godly the whole week. Not only that, you're supposed to be generous, equal. Wouldn't it be something if some of these chief executive officers that are making their millions that they announced tomorrow in Fox News or one of the news that, you know, I've been making $4+ million with the automobile business. What I'm going to do, I'm going to give half of that to the employees. So you really are wild this morning. Look at verse 4. Verse chapter 4, verse 1. Is that wild? That they're to be righteous if they're Christians and to be an equal? You say, well, that isn't sharing equally. Nobody is sharing. That would be a startling news. You see how far we've gotten away from the Word of God? I believe verse 1 of chapter 4 is that you're to be a kind of fellow who's, if you know the Lord, you're righteous, and you try to be equal and not saying, well, he's not worth much and she is or he isn't. No, no. I hired you, and this is what I promised you. I'm going to take care of it. You know, it's funny. In the old days, in the Old Testament days, they practiced paying employees at the end of every day. It has some merits to it, I'll tell you that. I don't suppose any of you know what it is at the end of the week when the boss says, hey, you're going to have to wait a while. I don't have it. You never worked for anybody like that? I did. Say, well, that doesn't add up with verse 1. No, I know it doesn't. You know, you can take out a short loan if you have to pay your employees. No, I can't. Yes, you can. Verse 1. Some of us have been in business for a while. We know what we can do and what we can't do. It's not right. They have bills. They have a family. But I guess not much of that's done anymore. It may happen in the future. I hope not. But we look out for our employees. Look out for them. But especially it says this, you better do it all to the glory of God, because the last part of verse 1 says what to us? It says, listen, you better be just. You better be a righteous Christian, an equal in the business world. Treat people with equality, knowing this, that you have a master, at capital M, you have a master in heaven. You better do it for the glory of God. Oh, I like that. I like to tell you this. I like what, and I hardly, because I've had the severance from some of his teachings, but I must admit to you, I like what Martin Luther said. He one time was visiting a shoe repair man. He made shoes in the old days. And he said to Martin, he says, you know, I make shoes. What can a shoemaker do? Luther just simply said to him, make better shoes, in a German way. Well, that's good. That's what we can do. Make better shoes. But you know, when you sit down to eat today, and whatever your menu is, it doesn't make any difference, but you remember where that came from, that food. Well, I got it in the Wises. Now, hold on a little bit. Remember, there was God behind the whole process. There was the matter of the farmer. Well, somebody had to raise it. Just hold on a minute. You got to remember. Somebody had to harvest it. Somebody had to bake it or whatever. Somebody had to deliver it. Somebody had to make roads so we can You can have food at your market. You see, we get a little narrow thinking. Give us this day our daily bread. You say, well, I don't understand what you mean. Yes, just be thoughtful about some things. There are people involved. You say, well, I think that religious people are the big shots. I don't think that way. I think that it's important, whatever, for the spread of the kingdom of God, whether you're a ditch digger or whether you're a preacher. To me, I don't see any difference. You say, well, he holds godly things. So can a godly ditch digger be a witness for Jesus Christ too, and maybe even more powerfully, because somebody see he's working hard and God's enabling him to do it. He's a better witness than a preacher that maybe is, you know, just so-so, collecting his salary. And Luther did believe that all callings were of God, especially referring to the believers, Christians, for the spreading of the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he also believed, and I must tell you this, the Bible teaches that we all are slaves. No, I'm not a slave. Yes, you are. Outside of Christ, we're slaves. We're slaves to our sins. By the way, I just had a reflection. You say, well, I don't like the work. I don't like to get my hands all dirty. I came to the Pope last Sunday, I had ink on my fingers. Somebody said, you know what, so you got ink on that one finger. Too bad you didn't get the message if you just saw ink on my finger. But before the fall, before the Adamic fall, there was work in the Garden of Eden. Don't you consider work as just a nuisance. Just be grateful to God. And if you don't like what you're doing, ask God to give you something else. Providentially, he could change your particular task in life. I hope you wives and husbands don't take that literally, because until death do we part. Marriage. Our Lord Jesus, as we were bond slaves, we were slaves, permanent slaves in sin, and because of the fall, and because of our own desire to sin, and our blessed Lord paid the price for our freedom on the cross of Calvary. Yes, he did. And because he loved us, and because he's a God of salvation, he's given us the truth of the grace of God. He's given us the power of the Holy Spirit to give us a new birth, a new nature. What a wonderful God. He said, yeah, now you're a free man. But as a free man, you are to obey me, even in these mundane things, like Colossians 3 and verses 18 through Colossians 4:1. Even in those mundane things, he said, yeah, I made you free, and you're free indeed, and you're going to go to heaven. You're going to have to give an account for your work, young man. Pardon me. What was that? Did I hear that I'm going to give an account to God? Really now? Yeah, for your works. He said, "I want you to do this. If you're upset, trust in my good providence. I'll see you through." The question comes this morning to all of us. See, I don't particularly like to hear about slaves and masters. I don't particularly want to hear a sermon about employees and employers. Talk to God about it, because that's what it is. But the question comes right down to the bottom line. Whose slave are you? You cannot serve two masters. Well, I think I've done pretty good. Hold on now. God says you can't serve two masters. One you love and the other you hate. I love this old world and I like to spend time. I better go out and shop the Lord's Day, because we have such great discounts now. That's what's important. Be careful. God's looking over. And you say, well, I'm a Christian. That's fine, but you're going to have to give an account for what we've done. We're going to have to give an account for what we've done on this earth. And as far as I know, that's until the day we die. I don't think there's retirement for us as serving the Lord Jesus? I don't think so. I know there's things we get old we can't do. I know that. But I don't see. God's been looking upon us. Even those of us who say we're old guys, God's looking on us. What are you doing? Are you goofing off? How are you handling situations? Are you nonchalant? Let her go. No, we need to be diligent. What powerful scriptures. So basically, that's what I have to give to you this morning. To kick some tires, to look it over just generally. But if we were to exegete the whole thing, you'd find out there's a lot of powerful things. You say, why didn't you do it? Well, maybe the day's not over yet. Maybe you can have it. Get back at this again sometime. I think that closing hymn is a good hymn for us to consider. And that is 552. And I think it has some context of what we're trying to understand this morning in this passage in Colossians 3, 552. Father, we're grateful for what you've said, that if any man would serve you, follow you, that where you are, you said, there shall also my servant be. And so as our master, our Lord Christ, our providential God, our friend, the one who looks upon us and loves us, who gave his life for us, how wonderful it is to be a child of God. So bless us this morning. Speak to our hearts further. And now, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, to glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. us thy peace throughout our earthly life, our balm in sorrow and our stay at strife. Then, when thy voice shall bid our conflict cease, call us, O Lord, to thine eternal peace. That's great. Appreciate that. Perhaps you have some thoughts concerning the matter of duties, servants and masters, employees and employers. Perhaps you have a thought you could share with us to enhance.
People react so strongly against the concept of slavery or obeying someone else these days, but they, like you said, they fail to recognize that your spiritual slavery to the wickedness and to the devil.
And where there was the preaching of the word, Rick, you know this, don't you? That it brought about the end of slavery. Paul wasn't counting slavery here, friends. He just was not given at this particular time to use a social arguments or so forth. But he knew the Old Testament against slavery. But there is such a thing as bond servants. And I like that. It's like, I just like it. I don't know that if somebody is serving a man like indentured. By the way, speaking of indentured, Dietrich Schmidt, who cleared off part of the hill over here on the other side, he came, he was a German soldier. He came after World War I to, who was the man that brought him over?
James Bannon, Messiah Luther.
Yeah, he brought him over and he said, I want you to work for me to pay for to pay for transportation or whatever. And he worked hard after he paid his dues to Mr. Bannon, and then he cleared off this land. And I want to tell you something. His son has the best farm in Lycoming County. Don't tell me hard work doesn't pay. The best farm, as far as ground, is down here on the other side of the Muncie Bridge, the left-hand side. Dietrich Smith's son owns that. What am I telling you that? I'm telling you that God does honor people who will do their jobs. Yes, maybe you have some other thought, do you?
I think in verse 22, it's kind of, we talk about obeying all things your masters, and there's that very important part that says, according to the flesh, that it matters of in the physical realm, but it matters of conscience. We owe that to the Lord. And so when your employer asks you to do something that's contrary to the Word of God, yeah, we can in good conscience say no.
No.
When a husband asks his wife to do something
that's
not according to the Word of God, as it says in verse 18, as it is fit in the Lord.
Amen.
So,
Amen.
It's not carte blanche. but I think that it's also important to as it says that whatsoever ye do it heartily, and as to the Lord, not as unto the men. We should have a good attitude. Should be desire to make the company things work well for our company, that your employer, that you have their interest in mind. And
yeah. Not just as men pleasers.
Right.
Or make the boss happy. Well, sure, but remember, it goes further than that. Yes. Well, I hope to see you this evening. Amen.
We've got a grafter here.